Congregation, Caleb, of whom we've just read, is one of the oldest two men alive in Israel. After he and Joshua were overruled, after making their initial spy report, then at 40 years of age, God promised that all the Israelites 20 years and older, of all of those Israelites 20 years and older, Joshua and Caleb would be the only ones to enter into the promised land after 40 years of wandering around in the desert. Caleb is now 85 years old. He has a good 20 years on the next oldest man in Israel. Besides Joshua, the nearest person to him in age is a sprightly 65 years old. And perhaps there were voices saying, I can imagine those voices, perhaps there were voices saying, look, it's time to have a break, Caleb. You've done your dash. It's time to settle down and retire, to rest and relax. Your service for the Lord is over. You did a good thing back then. It's time for you to step back and allow a new generation of leadership to take over. But instead, what we find here in the text is an Orpah to be proud of, who is old and yet bold, a faithful servant of the Lord. There are two things that we see about this old yet bold man of God. And the first is this, a willingness to stand alone. A willingness to stand alone. Joshua said, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. That's that first sending out of the spies. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions, but my brothers who went up with me, those other 10 spies, they made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. We read of Caleb's spy story back before in Numbers 13. God's people camped on the eastern side of the Jordan River, sending out their 12 spies to check out the land. And the spies came back, as we saw last week, with a unified message, at least in part. They said, we went to this land of which you sent us, and it does indeed flow with milk and honey. I always wondered what flowing with milk and honey. I mean, I understand the picture, but it sounds rather wet and sticky, if you ask me. But flowing with milk and honey, it's a very productive land. And all that God has promised about this land, all that he's told us about it, is true. It's a great land. It's a wonderful inheritance. It's a place to settle down. But as we know, the spies also ran into the opposition. They saw the Anakites. Remember the Anakites from last Sunday. They were the lean, mean fighting machines back then. They were as tall as the sky. They were as strong as iron. They were thunderous. They were mighty. They were fearsome. And in the minority report, 10 of the 10 spies stood together and they said, look, we can't attack these people. They're stronger than we are. And only two men that day stood against the tide of popular opinion, Joshua and Caleb. And they said, look, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land. We need not be afraid of the people of that land because we'll swallow them up. Their protection's gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. What was Caleb and Joshua's reward for such a bold stand of faith? Those around them had a bit of a debate. They debated whether or not to stone them. That was their reward. Because Caleb believed God, Caleb was willing to stand alone, come what may, whatever the cost might be. The majority measured the giants in the land against their own strength. Caleb measured them against God's strength. The majority saw a great giants. They had great giants and a little God. Caleb had a great God and therefore little giants. Caleb had a big God, a God like we saw this morning, a God who is powerful, a God who can do all things, mighty things. Caleb's eyes were fixed firmly on the Lord God. And that gave Caleb the courage to stand alone, or at least with Joshua at the very least, the two of them. It gave Caleb the strength to take an unpopular position or opinion. Gave Caleb the willingness to go against the grain and do something quite different. And of course, as we come to the text today, we are not in the land of Canaan. We're not spies. We're not facing Anakim. God calls us to stand alone like Caleb in the face of opposition, to stand alone in the face of a constant message from the world that enjoying life is the point of everything, to stand alone in the face of people all around us who are intolerant towards truth. Standing alone, as Caleb and Joshua discovered, standing for God is a very lonely place. It's to swim against the tide of popular opinion. It's to stand up and paint a target on your forehead. To say to your boss, "I'm sorry, but even if it costs me my job, I can't do that. It's not right." To stand out amongst the crowd by not accepting the indoctrination about evolution which takes place in our universities. By saying, "I believe that God created the world." It may cost you relationship. I can't go out with you, not because I don't like you, but because you don't believe the Lord my God. And he calls me to love him wholeheartedly and for the deepest relationships of my life to be only with those who make that same commitment. It may cause you embarrassment amongst your friends when you say, "No, I don't hate homosexual people. But I stand with God in agreeing that sexual relations outside of marriage, one man, one woman, isn't right." It can be a lonely place to stand firm for the Lord. But friends, it's also the right place for us to be. And for us to have the courage to boldly stand alone as Caleb did, we need to see God as Caleb did. Not a small God, not a little local God, but a big God, a powerful God, a God who rewards the devotion of faith, a God who is better than all of the alluring calls of the world, a God who in himself and in knowing him truly satisfies. Friends, God does satisfy. As the Psalms say, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame, and that promise is true. Caleb wasn't put to shame, and trusting in Jesus, we also will not be put to shame. So brothers and sisters, stand firm in your faith. Be willing to stand alone, even if necessary, for the Lord. Remind yourselves of the greatness of God. Your God is a big God. He's bigger than any trouble that you might face in this world. Your God is a faithful God. He's a God who rewards those who put their trust in them. He rewards those who stand for him, whatever the cost might be. You may be young, or you may be old. Whatever age you are tonight, be bold. Be bold for the Lord. Then there's also a second thing we see from our old yet bold Caleb, and that is a willingness to trust the promises. I'm going to back up and just read a verse earlier than what we've got on the screen then. Caleb says, "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out into battle as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Having stood firm, isolated from popular opinion, Caleb received a promise from God as a reward. That Caleb's inheritance wouldn't be determined, like all the other tribes of Israel were, by lots, by casting of dice, by drawing straws. But Caleb, God said, he would have the pick of the land. He could choose his own inheritance from among all of the promised land. His own inheritance and an inheritance for his descendants. Caleb's now 85. He's had a good run, hasn't he? Time to settle down, we think. choose a granny flat piece of land, live out his final days in a measure of rest and peace and joy, his retirement, play with his grandchildren, all of those things that perhaps you look forward to. But not for Caleb. No, nothing could be further from the truth for old Pa Caleb. Yes, he is old, but he is still very bold. And isn't it so fitting that Caleb chooses the very opposite of peaceful rest in a retirement village? He picks out a piece of land in the hill country, occupied by the remnant of the Anakites, those lean, mean fighting machines that we read of earlier. And he asks for their cities, not some other ones. He asks for the large cities, the well-defended, fortified, very well-protected cities. I read a story once about an American shoe company that sent a salesperson to a foreign country. And that person had hardly arrived before they asked the company back home for money for a ticket to come back home again. What were the reasons? No one over here wears shoes. I'm not going to be able to do a lot of good, am I? No one here wears shoes. Here I am, a sales agent for a shoe company. The company agreed to that request. They brought that person home. They sent another salesperson over and placed the first one. And soon she sent them this message. Send me all the shoes you can manufacture. The market is absolutely unlimited. No one here has any shoes. I like that story, and I think it typifies the spirit of a Caleb here. Caleb, you see, is up for all the challenge that he can get. There is still fight left in Caleb's 85-year-old bones. Caleb isn't just going to fade away. No danger of that. Caleb, if Caleb's going to go down, he is going to go down fighting. Does he really still have the same strength in his 85-year-old bones as he did when he was 40? Because that's what he says, doesn't he? He says, I'm just as strong as I was back then. Well, all other things being equal, I think we'd say, well, probably not in a physical sense. And yet, Caleb's desire, his vitality, his vigor, is unchanged, and perhaps it's even stronger than it was ever before. Because he's seen God's promises to give the promised land, the land of Canaan. He's seen God fulfill those promises. He's seen that. And so Caleb doesn't step back. No, he steps forward. He steps forward. He doesn't look for an easy task. He doesn't look for a task more suited to an old man. No, rather, Israel's seniorest of senior citizens claims the toughest portion of the land because he trusts the promises of God. And not only trusting the promises of God, but doing stuff in faith because of them. This wasn't just a theoretical trust. This was a trust that went and did things. Why Caleb's promise-trusting actions are presented to us here. Seems to me they're presented in such a way as to be intended to inspire us to follow in his footsteps, to be encouraged by his example, to be challenged in our own service to the Lord, a challenge by the writer of the book of Joshua to the generations still to come to follow Caleb, even as Caleb himself follows the Lord. And there are at least two ideas that Caleb's promise trusting example serves to challenge. And the first, I think, is the idea that at a certain point in life, we retire from God's service. You know that in time, the older generation ought to step aside and let a new generation of leaders take over. Well, God intends for us at a certain point to sit back and rest, and if we're able, to enjoy our golden years. Where, I ask you tonight, does the Bible ever teach that idea? That at a certain point in time you reach a use-by date and then just bow out and exit off stage. Now, don't get me wrong tonight. When you're 85, you may well not be able to do the sort of things that you could do when you were 40. And that's nothing to be ashamed of tonight. But even if at age 85 you find yourself in the providence of God confined to bed, even though you can't do the same things, in faith you can still boldly pray for them to happen. Or find opportunities to encourage your fellow Christians, spurring them on to love and good deeds. And then there are courage-filled opportunities to speak with the Lord, speak about the Lord with those who are caring for you. Perhaps you're young tonight and you're a long way from 85. Well, there's a message here for you as well. Let an 85-year-old Caleb motivate you also to greater faith-inspired action. Because if an 85-year-old is willing to take on great challenges in the service of God, what about you? You in the younger years of your life, you in the prime of your life, in your greatest strength, in your stronger years, will you use those years to serve the Lord faithfully and fruitfully? Because I warn you that if you don't, you may very well find yourself aging very rapidly in spiritual terms. And you may be 40, but wasting your years, you may take on the spiritual limitations, the physical limitations of an 85-year-old. And yet with this encouragement, if you do serve the Lord wholeheartedly, the chances are at age 85, you too will be able to say with Caleb, "Look, I'm as strong as I was when I was 40. We never retire from God's service. Use your years to serve the Lord, to seek first the kingdom of God rather than all that other stuff that people all around you, even in the church perhaps, all that other stuff that people all around you are running after, chasing after, striving after." And here's the second challenge that Caleb's promised trusting example gives us. That is the challenge to set about doing things that need faith. Because all too easily we set our sights and our vision in life and in the Christian life on the things that seem achievable. That's how the people of Joseph acted, the tribe of Joseph acted at the end of Joshua chapter 17. We didn't read that tonight. You might like to read that when you get home. They were given a section of land. They figured it wasn't achievable. Because why? Because the people who lived there had iron chariots. All too easily we set our sights and our vision on what seems achievable. And there is a tendency for us to walk in their, a temptation for us to walk in their footsteps. To avoid the challenge of acting in faith, to only act when all the details are mapped out and everything looks all under control, to have, as someone once described it, something of a mathematical faith, a faith that refuses to move unless everything and all the little details have been all calculated out on the calculator. God calls us to trust His promises and to take on the world. The promise that Jesus will be with us as we seek to disciple the nations for Christ. To seek in faith and in God's strength to set about putting our faith into reality and new things. Perhaps new things are sometimes a little bit scary. If they're a bit scary, I think that's a good thing. Because if they're not scary, we're probably not attempting to do anything that needs faith. So, people of God, let us look to the Lord. Look to the Lord that even though one day your body will become old, that in faith you might still be young at heart, old yet bold. Amen. Let's pray.